You have your Bible, turn back to John chapter number 13. John chapter 13, we'll start at verse number 12. John chapter 13 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Now watch that right there. Happy are ye if ye do them. "I spake not to you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." I want to continue on the thought tonight. We started with this morning on what we know. And we talked about the facts and the experiences that we have. And we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he knew, because the Father had done put everything in his hands. He had come and he had went, praise God, and he went to do the will of the Father. He never deferred from that. He was always about the will of the Father. When he prayed and he was seeking the Lord's face, his Heavenly Father's face, it was always about his will being done. He said, "Not my will be done, but thy will." Amen? And so that's where the Lord's direction was. That was his focus. And because he had these things in his hand, he was able to do the things that he did. We see here that he washed the disciples' feet. And we talked about this morning, which is a type of that daily cleansing that we all need to keep us from the defilement of this world. Amen. That's why, you know, a lot of times people today, they tell me all the time, they say, "Well, Pastor," and it really started after COVID. But Chris, after COVID, a lot of people tell me, and we know from their church, a lot of people went home and sat down and had never come back. And you talk to them, Brother Bobby, they'll say, "Well, you know, I can just get it from my television set. I can get it for, you know, sitting at home watching it on TV." But I'm telling you as a fact from the Word of God that you cannot get the same thing at the house sitting in front of a television as you can down at the house of God. The reason being is called this example that Lord Jesus give us, that they come together in a mind court, and praise God, they was there to help and to clean each other up, to help each other, to encourage each other, and you can't get that sitting at home from a television set. You say, "Well, preacher, we get the same Word of God, the same." Yeah, but it's not the same as being in the house of God. It's just not the same. It's nowhere near it. That's why the Lord would say, "To fail not to assemble yourself together, as the custom of some is, even so to more, as you see today approaching." So we're not supposed to get slack and stay at the house. We're supposed to gather ourselves together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth and encourage each other along the way. We need encouragement. Amen? Let me just be straight up with you tonight. Amen? When you come to church, it encourages me. Amen? As a pastor of church, every time you come, every time you darken the door and you come to church, it encourages your pastor. So if you don't come for any other reason, you can come to encourage me. Amen? It blesses my heart to see you, and it breaks my heart, and I worry when you're not here. See, if you're not here, you you may not be here because of all kinds of different reasons, but if you're not here, I think that you're sick. You know, the pastor always worries. He always thinks the worst. He thinks you're sick or thinks the devil's got you and trying to drag you off. See, envision you being drug off into a pit. Amen? But we want to be here to encourage each other to get in this thing and just realize where we're at, what God wants to do for us. He's preparing us for a glorious journey. Amen? And we're on a journey called life. And praise God. And what we know is what we know from the Word of God. He fills our heart. And he said to not be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. And I've told you before, to be filled with the Spirit means to be being filled. That's a continuation. So we talked about that continuation this morning. Amen. That continuation of prayer and repentance and seeking God's face and trying to stay where God would have us to be. See, if we get away from God and we get away from His Word, the old devil will beat you down in a hurry. But if we get the Word, we envelop ourselves in the Word of God and we dive into it, and praise God, God begins to bless. And it's something, and it's amazing. I ain't a real big fan of these iPhones and these apps and all that stuff. But I tell you what, you can get it today. You don't have no excuse for not getting the Bible, because you can get the King James Bible on your iPhone. Amen. And you can get it. You can have them send you a daily devotional every day on your iPhone. Amen. And you won't believe, praise God, if you'll just look at that every day. Amen. Hello. Amen. If you'll look at that every day, how it will encourage your heart. It'll keep you from doing some things that you ought to do, and it'll help you to do some things that you should do. Amen. It'll make all the difference because of what we know. Because what God fills us with, praise God, even for His glory. So the Lord was teaching them, and He taught them this lesson on fellowship, and He taught them Himself a lesson on keeping themselves pure before God, to being holy before God. And then I want to look at tonight for just a few minutes on not only what Jesus knew, but what the disciples knew. Amen. What the disciples knew. So this, you might say, this is Jesus, in this chapter 13, this is Jesus' second lesson. Amen. His first lesson was that he's the Lord, and we should wash each other's feet and help each other stay clean, to be pure before the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being pure. There's nothing wrong with being separate. There's nothing wrong, praise God, with being undefiled. Amen. Praise God. It makes a difference. So we see it. It's played out here, and He's trying to tell us here. He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." That I am in the Hebrew, that is ego a me. I am. Amen. That's what God the Father said to Moses when He asked him. He said, "You're going to send me down there to Egypt, and first thing they're going to ask me is who sent you?" Said, "Who is he? What's his name?" Said, "You just tell him that I am sent you." Amen. Praise God. He said, "You just go down there and tell him that I am sent you. Ego me." And Jesus says here, He said, you call me Master, you call me Lord. He says, "I am. Ego me." Praise the Lord. So He said, "That's who I am." He said, I've gave you this example. I've gave you a lesson. Amen. Been your Lord and Master. Have washed your feet. Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So there's a helping with that daily cleansing, to get the defilement of the world off of us and to make us pure and clean and help us stay pure and clean. Amen. It's encouraging each other in the Word of God, with the Word of God. And David said that I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. If you hide it in your heart, praise God, it's something that you can bring back. You know when the old flesh and the devil rises up and assaults you? And oh, it will before you know it. Amen. And the more we try to do good, the more the devil and this old flesh will assail you. Amen. I tell everybody, when they get saved and then they come to be baptized, and I tell them when I counsel with them on baptism that you're committing yourself, you're going to die out to the world, that's what that represents, in that watery grave, and you're going to rise up and come out in newness of life to serve the Lord. Amen? That's what baptism is. Baptism isn't what saves us. Baptism is that outward expression of an inward possession. Amen? It's what we have because we've been born again. And we just want to share with the world and let them know that we're saved, praise God, and we're wanting to do something for Jesus. And I tell them all the time, the first thing you do, the devil is going to assault you and try to beat you down. Amen? When somebody gets saved and they come to this altar and they give their life to the Lord. Brother Chris got saved here a while back. I told him right out the gate, I said, tomorrow morning, you'll get to go work and the devil's going to ride you like a racehorse. But I said, you know the secret to that? It said, make him ride bareback. Don't give him a saddle. Don't make it easy on him. Praise God. Put up a resistance. Amen. The Bible says, Jude says, if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. The devil ain't going to spend a whole lot of time getting your attention if you're resisting him. If you're right reading your Bible and you're studying, you're praying, and you're listening to good Christian music, and you're putting good things in your head, praise God, the devil's not going to spend a whole lot of time fooling with you, because there's a whole lot easier targets out there. And remember, the devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. So he'll go and he'll try to get those easier targets. Amen. So we just have to stand fast. George said, we stand fast and we help one another, and we hide the word of God in our hearts that we won't sin against him. And then when the devil comes along, the flesh rises up, we just have a verse that'll come out that'll encourage our hearts. Amen. To help us stay steadfast, abiding in the works of the Lord. That's where the good stuff comes from. Amen. That's where you get to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. And you get to enjoy it so much. And the Lord begins, you get to praising him and giving him glory. And he just opens up the spout and just dumps it out on purpose. You get to can't help it and you don't care. Just get to praising the Lord and give. You get to going down the road and you get to waving your hand and praising God and giving glory. And people's driving by, they look at you like you've lost your mind and it don't bother you a bit. Amen. I'm not going to be ashamed of him. He said, if I'm ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of me before the Father. Amen. I don't want to be ashamed of my Lord Jesus. I want to praise God. I want to lift him up, magnify him. And I hope everybody sees it. Amen. Praise God. So we see that what the disciples knew. Jesus' second lesson, praise God, that the true happiness comes from a humble service. True happiness comes from a humble service. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and we do things, not because we have to. It breaks my heart all the time. People all the time say, well, I got to go to church. I have to go to church. Man, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. Amen. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be able to come to church. Amen. To have enough gas in your tank, Lord, provide a vehicle to get you there. I've been pastoring here. Ministry's been coming here for over 20 years, and we've made that 26 mile trip many times. Amen. Amen. Many times. We come up and down the road. But God be the glory. And what a privilege it is to be able to make that trip, to make that journey. And I've never had a need that God wouldn't provide a way to get here and get back. Amen. And all the meals and things I've had between here and there. Amen. And the meals that I've got here when I feasted upon the things of God and we've enjoyed it together. Amen. Why? Because it's that humble service that we do for his glory. But the Lord would tell him this. In verse number 15, he said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now this is not literally a commandment that the Lord gives us. Amen. But he says it oughtn't to be a commandment, so it oughtn't to make you do it. He said, in order to be a loving ministry that you have in your heart to do. Amen? If we start doing things because we have to, we're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen? We're doing it because of a loving ministry that we have to reach out and to touch souls. That's why we come every Sunday night and Wednesday night and different times, and we come to worship and minister, praise God, because we're trying to minister love. That love of Christ, praise God, to a lost and dying world. And we come together so we can fill up, praise God, so we can go out and just empty out into the world. And he said that's what he's compelling these disciples to do. So Jesus gave them an example that they must follow. Amen. He said this is what get the job done. He said, I give you an example of helping clean each other up and washing each other's feet. He said, now you get to be an example to a lost and dying world. So what he's talking about humility, and he's actually talking about hospitality. Amen? He's offering hospitality to those those out here in the world, praise God, that's never had that before in their life. There's a whole lot of people, and even in families and things that we know, praise God, that's never known the love of Christ. They've never had a caring and a loving home. They've never had a caring and a loving church where they can come together and love one another, where they can feel that true love. We've got, and I'll just be honest with you, we've got families that are husbands and wives that have never known the love of Christ. Amen? And I'll tell you what, you have a husband and wife who will never truly know how to love one another. Amen? If we ever learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, mind, our soul, and strength, like He says to love Him, then we will learn from that as an example, another example of Christ, how to love each other. Amen. He said, how do you know that you saved? How do you know that you went from death unto life? He said, because we love the brethren. Because we love each other. Amen. We're not of the same family, earthly family, but we're in the same family of God. So he says to these disciples, he said, what they knew, praise God, is that the Lord had given them an example. And he said, we're in the same family. We're doing this for the same reason. Amen. In other words, we're all in this together. Amen. He said there's a unity. Bible says at Pentecost, they went to the upper room 40 days. They stayed in there waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. And the Bible said they were all in one accord. Now that wasn't that little four-door car. They wasn't in that little four-door car, that little cord. Amen. They were in one mindset. They were thinking on one thing. They were praying in one direction. They was anticipating something bigger than they had ever had before. We can anticipate things in this world, and we plan, and we try to figure out, you know, what we're going to need to be happy. And we'll work in that direction. Amen? We'll try to finagle around and get and find true happiness. People all the time talk about finding true happiness. But I've said before, happiness depends on what happens. Amen? You can be happy one minute. Matt was happy one minute when he was driving his truck home yesterday, and somebody pulled out in him, and he hit someone, and the next minute he wasn't happy no more. Amen? You can be happy one minute and sad the next, but true joy comes from knowing the Lord, praise God, from having His example made, realizing that in humility and in hospitality, what God has planned for so that we can be an encouragement to others. And we can encourage ourselves. David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. There come a time when, what we know, praise God, what the disciples, they was coming a time that they would be discouraged. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to be taken out of here. Told them the manner of His death. And they didn't want that. But it was necessary for the salvation of souls. Amen. So they were distraught over it. But what did Jesus tell them in John chapter 14, next verse, next chapter over? He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Glory. Amen. Tom said, well, we know where they'll go. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, Thomas, I've been so long with you and you not know. And anyway, then he says this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus says, I'm the way. So he gives these examples. He knew, praise God, what Jesus knew, praise God. He gives to these disciples, and these disciples was beginning to learn. They was beginning to know, praise God, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they was beginning to be occupied with the happenings of the Savior. So that when things begin to play out, praise God, they come with, he said, if there's got to be a meekness, and they've got to be a humility in your life. He gives us that example. Let me just show you that right quickly tonight. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 1, listen to what he says. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, we know there's consolation in Christ. Amen. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. Thank God for the fellowship of the Spirit. He said, if any bowels of mercy. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, here we go, and one mind. Amen? See, that's a universal theme that God has used throughout the ages. He said we ought to be in one mind, one accord, one mindset, praise God, when it comes to the things of God. That is our priority, right? It takes precedence over everything else. And once that takes precedence over everything else, then everything else becomes secondary. I've told you before, priorities is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as priorities. That word didn't even become a word until the 1960-something. They added it into the dictionary. But there is no such thing as priorities. There is a priority, the most important thing, and everything else has to come in secondary, third, fourth. Amen. Takes a back seat to it, if you will. Amen. But he said, listen, verse number three, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know, we don't do anything to where we can say, oh, look at me, look what I did. Amen. The Bible says if you do something and you pull it out and you flaunt it and you say, here, look what I've got, look what I did. The Bible said you have your reward. Amen. But he says, when you do those things, Brother Bobby, and praise God that your right hand don't know what the left one's doing, he said, then your reward is laid up in heaven. Amen. Peter says, for they're guarded by God. Amen. So one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll stand and give an account for what we did after we were saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. The works after we were saved, the good deeds that we did for God's glory. Because he said we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He said we can't even do nothing pleasing to God till we get saved. And then once we get saved, then those good deeds, those things that we do for God's glory are recorded under our name. So one day when we stand before Jesus Christ, praise God, he'll look at me. That's why he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Because it's all written in. You realize God keeps great records. Amen. He knows us, he said, to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Amen. Every thought, everything we think, everything we do, every action, every reaction, God records it. Kind of scary, isn't it? Amen. To think that he keeps that kind of records. But he knows all. There's nothing that's hid from him. Hey, it don't matter how sneaky you are. Amen. He sees you even in your hiding place. He sees you. Amen. You know, we used to sneak around behind the woodshed and stuff to do things so Mom and Daddy, Mama and Papa wouldn't see us. I realized, praise God, it wasn't them I had to worry about, but God was seeing me. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm seeing God, but God sees behind the woodshed. Amen. Now, he also seen the times that I was taken behind the woodshed. Amen. When Mama needs us out there to do business with us, if you know what I mean. Amen. Got us our attention. The rod of correction. Drove the meanness out of us. He said, preacher, you believe in that? Absolutely. Bible says, with spare the rod and you spoil the child. That's what's happening in America. Amen. We got a bunch of youngins that ain't being corrected. Mom and daddy want to be their friend. Amen. You ought to practice being mom and daddy. Forget about being their friend. Amen. They'll have friends at school. They'll have friends at work. You need to be we need to be mom and daddy. We need to be the parents. Amen. Praise God. We need to teach them right from wrong. Praise the Lord. But he goes on in verse number four. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen? Praise the Lord. But in verse number three, he said, let not nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen? In other words, we ought to think about other people than us. If we ain't careful, we get heady and high-minded and we become people that say me, me, me. Amen. And we forget about the other people. We forget about others. We can do it in our relationships. Amen. In a husband and wife relationship, if we ain't careful, we can get the me, me, me's and it's all about me. You know, I want her to work on, wait on me. I want her to do things for me. I want her to be mindful of me. But what about her? And she could be the same way. She could say, well, I want him to think about me. I want to be mindful of me. I want to do things for me. But what about him? Amen. Well, it's got to be a give and take, praise God. We got to have that mindness. We got to be mindful of them. That's all the Lord's teaching us here in John chapter 13. Amen. That we have compassion one for another, lowliness of mind, meekness of heart, humility in our lives. Amen. Even to the washing of somebody's feet. Amen. These people think, I ain't washing nobody's feet. That's nasty. Amen. I don't want to wash your stinky feet either. I'll just be honest with you. Amen. Praise God. I want to see you clean up for the Lord. I want to see you doing good. I want to see everybody, praise God, doing things that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would go on and say in verse 4, he said, look not every man to his own thing, but every man also in the things of others. He said, we ought to be mindful of other people. Amen. Be mindful of their feelings, their needs. Amen. Be willing to help them if we can. Then he would say this in verse number 5. Now this is where he starts getting pretty close to where the rubber meets the road. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, or in very nature, that's who he was. He was God. He was God the Son. Amen. Everybody believe that, right? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, said it wasn't something that Jesus tried to cling to and hold on to, because he was. And so he said, he knew where he come from. He knew where he's going. He knew what he was here for. And he had his priority. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Amen. In other words, he took on the very nature of a servant. Became a servant to mankind. And was made in the likeness, now watch this, the likeness of men. In other words, he took on the very form of man. God Almighty, come from the throne of grace, took on the form, the likeness of man, and was born of a virgin in a stable in Bethlehem, grew up, praise God, for me and you. Amen. Laid aside his glory so that he could be human like us. Now, he was 100% human, and he was 100% God. You say, preacher, if he was 100% God, when they was trying to put him on that cross, when they hung him on that cross, couldn't he have come down? Yes, he could have. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. It would have only took one. Amen. But he could have called 10,000 legions of angels. And they saw what was happening to the Lord there, praise God. And the angels, praise God, those ministering spirits of God Almighty. They were watching. They were seeing what was happening to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were sitting at the edge of heaven. I pray God. They was waiting. Yeah, glory to God. At a word. They would have left out of there. And they wouldn't have been nothing left of this world. Amen. He could have totally annihilated all those that was putting a shame and harm to him. And hurt. But Jesus Christ, he endured the cross. He endured the pain, praise God, because he was 100% human. He endured all our pain and our suffering and our sinfulness till God Almighty himself. He didn't turn his back on his son. He turned his back on the sin. Because God can't look on sin. Amen. God can't look on sin. God don't want sin in front of him. God will not have sin in front of him. Amen. So he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to dwell in this earth, to come that become that perpetuation, that price of sin. He became 100% man, took on the very form of a human being, just like me and you. That's why the Bible said that Jesus hungered. When he hung on the cross, he said, I thirst. They offered him the vinegar and stupefy him and make him where the pain wouldn't be as bad. The Bible says when he tasted it, seen what it was, he would have nothing to do with it. Because he had to take on the whole aspect of humanity. Amen. And he done it with a humble spirit. What we know, Dave, what the disciples know, as Jesus Christ come as a humble servant, gave himself on the cross of Calvary for sinful men like us. Took upon himself the flesh of men. And being found in fashion as a man, Amen. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. Remember what he prayed in the garden? He prayed in the garden. He said, Father, he said, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. The human side of him said, Lord, Father, if there's another way, if there's any other way possible, let's go that route. That was the human side of him. But the God side of him, he said, but not my will. He said, don't you let this flesh persuade me. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Praise God. So he completed that task. He went all the way. The Bible said, even to death of the cross. He said, wherefore God also had highly exalted him. He finished the task. He finished his course. He said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, and watch this, which is above every name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch this. To the glory of God the Father. Why would we claim Him? Why would magnify Him as the Lord? Because the glory of the Father. God did that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Every knee should bow. Now what? Notice that word, should. Every knee should bow, but will every knee bow? No. No, people are still rebellious. People are still resisting the Lord. What he was telling the disciples is just come humbly before the Lord, to bow down before him, to just submit yourself to him. He was telling the disciples here in John chapter 13. He said, just as I have humbled myself and been submissive unto you, I've showed you this example of God-likeness. He said, I want you to show that same example to others along the way. Amen. That every tongue should bow, every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess. Amen. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. I don't have no trouble saying that. I don't have no trouble believing that. I don't have no trouble relying on that. I don't have no trouble adhering to that. Praise God, it's all part of my believing. Believing, that's what it is. It's to believe on, to trust in, to rely on, and adhere to. And I don't have any trouble, praise God, believing on Him or trusting in Him or relying on Him or adhering to Him. Just listening to what He says. Just doing what He says. Amen. Jesus would say in John, let me see if I find it right quickly. I'll show it to you. That if we'll just do what He says, that if we'll listen to what He says, we don't have to worry about the things of this world. Amen. That we got God on our side, praise God. He's there to help us. And He's there to give us direction. He's there to help us to focus on things that He would have us to see. But He said if those that are trusting Him, those that would do what He says, shall never see death. Amen. He said, well, preacher, the Bible says it's appointed man once dying after this to judgment. Amen. That's true. It's Bible. But He also said that Jesus said, if you listen to me, if you'll do what I tell you, if you'd hear to me, He said, you'll not see death. Amen. He said, we'll pass from death unto life. Praise God. We'll close our eyes here as though we go to sleep, and we'll wake up in glory. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there'll be a transition. Praise God. I'm ready for that transition, ain't you? Hey, listen, I'm like the rest of you. I want to live as long as I can. I told some folks the other day, I said, listen, if somebody tell you that Pastor Jeff committed suicide, don't you believe it. You have to do an autopsy and do some police work. Because I like me too much to hurt me. Amen? But I want to live as long as I can. But pray God. When it's time, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. Which is far better. I'm ready to go be with Him. I want to live with Him forever. He said, I'm going to depart, praise God. What I know today, what the disciples know, is because Jesus is my example. He rose, praise God, victorious over death in the grave. And He offered me that same hope. And the hope that I have tonight, praise God, is I'm going to graduate one day. Amen. I'm going to graduate from this world, the school of hard knocks. And I'm going to graduate into the portals of glory where I can live forever and eternally with my Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise God. That's the blessed hope that I have tonight. So the Lord's teaching him here, second lesson. He say, listen, I want you to, in humility, I want you to offer up hospitality. I want you to be there and help others. Praise God. Encourage others along the way. And they said, oh yeah, Lord, we got this. We got this. We can do this. Amen. But they hadn't much more than got that lesson down. Jesus got done that lesson. And His disciples began to wonder. And they said that they began to question among themselves, arguing over who would be greatest. You remember that? Amen. Hadn't much more than got through this lesson. And what we see in Luke chapter 22, they begin to argue and begin to wonder who was the greatest. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, verse number 24. But in verse 21, he said, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table, on the table. And truly, Son of Man goeth as determined. But woe unto that man that by whom he is betrayed. And watch this, he said, verse 23, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. They began to wonder, which one of us is going to betray him? Amen. He just gave them an example how to encourage each other. And they began, which one of us is going to betray him? They began to wonder. And then the very next thing they do, they begin to wonder, well, who's going to be the greatest among us? Verse 24. He said, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Amen. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? They begin to wonder. They say, listen, we're not going to betray him. We're not. I hope I'm not the one. Amen. But then instead of taking the lesson of humility, amen. And the next thing you know, they're saying, I'm going to be the best. I'm his favorite. Man, I'm the Lord's favorite. I'm the favorite. Because that's why I'm up here tonight and you're down there, because I'm the Lord's favorite, you know. He favors me, right? No, he put me into this position. Amen. He must have favored you more. Amen. Glory. But he said, as soon as they began, strife become among them. Which of them, they went from, which one of us is, from humility to which of us is going to betray him to which one of us is going to be greatest. Amen. What we know. They knew that Jesus had said, hey, listen, we gain from heaven in humility. And they say, okay, we got this. We understand a humble spirit, a meek and a humble spirit God loves, right? Amen. And they said, we got that. But which one of you is going to betray him? It can't be me because I'm, you know. But then they begin to strive between themselves. Who will be the greatest? Completely missed the message. I think what we do today, sometimes we completely miss the message of living with a humble spirit before God. We was going home today, and all over Asheville, you can see them, little old youngins sitting on the sides of the roads, just pitiful looking things, just shambles of life that's left. I mean, you know that they've been kicked out and they're on drugs and alcohol and abuse and self-abuse. And I told Teresa going home, I said, it's just the grace of God that we ain't one of them. Amen? It's just the grace of God that we ain't in that same situation. Amen? We ought to continually have a humble spirit and say, Lord, thank you, please. Help us pray for these others to lift them up, to encourage them. Amen? to help do that cleansing, that daily cleansing that we need. So the devil don't get a hold of our people and drag them out into the world. Amen? To drag them out and drag them off into the world. It's a pitiful, pitiful situation that we have. Amen? And we need to have compassion. We have to love for folks. Do we tell them, praise God, so that we can have that daily cleansing in our life so we don't get ensnared by the devil. Amen? The Lord would tell us about that over in Timothy. He said we're ensnared by the devil. It's like having your foot in a trap. Amen? I used that one time. I made a trap. Big Jeff over here, I made a trap like a trap, and I had him put his foot in, and he couldn't get out. And he couldn't get down there to get it off. So what do? You have to have somebody to come along and get you out of the snare. That snare of the devil, praise God. And if folks in this world don't have somebody to help them out of the snare of the devil, they're going to get entrapped, they're going to get caught. But we have to, in humble spirit, come along and help them to release them and give them direction, give them the encouragement to stay free. Amen. If you're free in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're free indeed. He offers us that freedom today because of what we know. What we know tonight, praise God, is that there is liberty in Christ tonight. Liberty, freedom to worship and praise Him and to give Him glory. To thank Him for all that He's done. To use Him as an example to others. That they can see Christ in us. That blessed hope of glory that we have. That we can share with them because one day in a little while we're going somewhere. Amen? Praise God. One of these days, we're not going to take an airplane ride. We're going to take a plain air ride. And we're going to go out of here. I told you about the buddy I worked with, old David. He said, I'd like to be like Superman, have me a cape and just fly around. I told him one night, he was talking about that. I said, brother, one of these days I'm going to be like Superman, but I'm going to have a cape. He says, really? I said, yeah, I'm going to take a plain air ride. I'm just going to take an air ride out of here into glory. He said, well, I know that. I am too, but I'd like to fly around before then, like Superman. Amen. Praise God. With the help of the Lord. One of these days, I'm going to fly out of here. I'm going to bid this old world goodbye, and I'm going to take my flight. You say, Pastor Jeff, you really believe that? I believe that with all my heart. And I believe when I take my last breath here, Brother Chris, they may roll me up here and say, oh, here, look at Pastor Jeff. He's gone. He's deceased. Amen. Don't you believe it for one second. Because, Pastor Jeff, this old carcass I live in will be laid down here, this old body of clay, but my soul and spirit is going to be with Him. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 7 said the Bible goes back to the dust from which it come, but the spirit goes back to God who give it. Right. Amen. In that moment of twinkling time. Right. Caleb, we're going to fly out of here. Praise God. We're going to bid the world goodbye, and we're going to be with Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so shall we ever and ever and ever and ever be with the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. We've got something. He gives us an example. And because of what He knew, because what He shared with us, because of what He shared with us, we know that we have that same blessed hope in Christ our Savior. Amen? That one day in a little while, praise God, we as well, are going to take a glorious flight. Amen. Why? Because in the volume book it's written. And we believe this book. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the Word and truth of God. We hide it in our hearts, praise God. And we have it, and we have that blessed hope. Remember what hope is? That's faith with a high expectation. Amen. Our faith with an extreme expectation. That God Almighty is going to fulfill His precious word of truth, even for His glory. Amen.